The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Good morning and welcome to the show. 770-5633 to join in. And yeah, we'll go over a lot of what happened with the assassination attempt on Saturday. And it, you talk about the country literally dodging a bullet, as it were. All I can say is President Trump, and most likely going to be next President Trump instead of just former President Trump, as a lot of the media went out of their way to say quite often, wow, luckiest dude around, original gangster, you know? I don't think I can add anything to it that thousands of other pundits haven't said over the weekend. But I'm happy to get your reaction as to what were you doing? Where were you when it happened? And were you actually watching? I was in the process of getting ready for a dinner. I was having a sit-down dinner with my friends Holly and Jim. Linda and I were getting this ready. And then Linda's sister, Sherry, ends up calling from Jacksonville, who had been watching the Trump event, and said, oh, my God, they shot him. You know, they shot him. And so we went back and just, jumped right on it. And, you know, thank goodness President Trump's okay. It's so horrible two people are hurting. And then that one brave firefighter had threw himself over his family, ended up perishing in the hail of bullets. But if there's one takeaway that I'm still feeling this morning as I go over some of the news coverage of this, can you hate the media enough? Is it possible to hate the media too much? I'm looking at some of this this early coverage. And by the way, from home, you know, I ended up getting what details I could, and I jumped on and put a quick report and put it on KMED during Handle on the Law. And even then I was saying, hey, you know, it looked like shooting. Katie Pavlich from townhall.com is calling it. It says this was obviously a shooting. And the video I was able to run back on Fox was actually very quiet. The gunshots were very quiet at that point. So I said, well, you know, no one's confirming this, but it looks like President Trump has been shot. That's what it's looking like. And I'm looking at these early headlines. Now, I know that news coverage in the early part of it, of any event like this, is always sketchy. It's just the way it is. You know, it's just 1,000 things going on. But this is how CNN covers it. I'll hold it up to the Facebook Live camera. Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally. Now, they heard the pops. You're seeing the people that are starting to do, you know, yell and scream and do all the rest of it, but he fell at the rally. That was the headline on CNN. I'm looking at another one here from the Associated Press. Breaking news. Donald Trump has been escorted off the stage by Secret Service during a rally after loud noises ring out in the crowd. This is probably like the number one news network in the entire country. Loud noises ringing out in the crowd. What? USA, 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 right? Here's another one. USA Today, speaking of which, USA. Trump removed from stage by Secret Service after loud noise startles former president and crowd. And let's see. Washington Post. Trump escorted away after loud noises at PA rally. Pennsylvania rally. In Butler, Pennsylvania. Yinzerville. That area where I was born. It's about an hour away from Butler in New Kensington. But can you hate them enough? You know, I was thinking that after the presidential debate or the candidates debate here with Trump and Biden a couple of weeks ago, maybe CNN was pulling out of the plane headed just straight down to the ground kind of thing. Were they able to pull up in time? But when you see rushed off stage after he falls at rally, can you hate them enough? I don't know. 770-5633-770-KMED. We can talk about that and various other things here, too. Like I was mentioning, though, I popped on Fox when I found out. And by the way, Holly and Jim came over for dinner, right? And they didn't know about it at first either. And when they got there, it's like, well, what are we going to do? It's like we're just watching the wall-to-wall coverage of this and skipping around. We actually settled on Newsmax after a little while. And they seem to have pretty good coverage of it, too. One America News also had pretty good coverage of it. Fox, it was okay. I was surprised at how quiet the gunshots were when they were first fired at President Trump. And in the crowd, you ended up getting more of an impact of what the crowd was actually hearing. I guess the Associated Press that just said, he fell, didn't hear this.
And look what happened to our country. Probably 20 million people. And, you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to...
By the way, this is what saved his life. He was looking at a chart. He ended up going to the side, looking at a chart like one of the jumbotrons of the... to the right. He ended up looking at that.
And, you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that said, take a look at what happened.
Yeah, that was Trump leaving stage after what was it? Who said that here? After loud noises startle former president and crowd, and they didn't want to call it an assassination attempt. What, it took about 2-3 hours before they really started calling it an assassination attempt? Again, can you hate them enough? Then I look at you could actually see some of the reaction. When Trump ended up, getting up and doing his original gangster, raising his fist in the air, he's like the original gangster man, I gotta tell you. And all of us were just like going, man, that's a man. That's a man, right? And then the crowd reacts, right?
No!
USA, they all start cramping. Cheering for him. But the other part that they didn't talk much about, if you were watching any of the video, was how many people were flipping off the cameras. Did you notice that? How many were flipping off the cameras? Because they knew how the media was going to treat this and how the rest of the people were going to react to this. Anyway, we'll be talking about this off and on. One of the biggest, failures of this was how did someone get to within 130, 140 yards? It just absolutely makes no sense. And so you start thinking that either the Secret Service, well, okay, here it is. People saw the shooter up on the roof. There were some people that saw it on the roof of this. It was a fairgrounds. It's a fairgrounds, kind of like the expo, right? And people were seeing this guy, and they were trying to raise awareness of it with the cops.
Girl pointing.
Gave me the Pacific.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof. Look. There he is right there. Right there, see him? He's laying down. See him?
Yeah, he's laying down.
And Scott, I'm here with you, fighting like hell to get a Senate.
What's happening?
So they go looking for an officer, I think, police officer.
Yeah, look, there he is.
Because we have millions and millions
officer.
Of people in our country
yeah.
that shouldn't be here. Dangerous people, criminals. We have criminals.
And they're pointing to it. And they got the attention of an officer. Apparently, they were able to get attention of the officer. They weren't able to get the attention of the Secret Service. Let's see. There's some of the more of that kind of thing.
Girl pointing.
Gave me the Pacific.
Yeah, someone's on top of the roof.
Okay, sorry.
Girl pointing.
Let me try this again.
And you know that's
a little bit. He's going down!
Yeah, and then the shooting occurred. Of all the news coverage I saw over the weekend, and I saw a bunch of it, a lot of it was just repetitive. You know, they're just same facts are there, just getting ground, pounded into the ground. The best coverage that I saw over the weekend is actually foreign networks. Daily Mail and the BBC, oddly enough. And I have a feeling there are no fans of President Trump, but boy, they seem to do a pretty good job covering it. In fact, Greg, this is one of the best interviews of the entire weekend. This is the takeaway of the entire weekend. They talked with Greg, who was an eyewitness, about what was up there on the roof.
So we walked up, and probably 5 to 7 minutes of Trump speaking, I'm estimating here, I have no idea, you know, but we noticed a guy crawling, bear crawling up the roof of the building beside us, 50 feet away from us. So we're standing there, you know, we're pointing at the guy crawling up the roof.
And he had a gun, right?
He had a rifle.
A rifle.
We could clearly see him with a rifle. Absolutely. We're pointing at him. The police are down there running around on the ground. We're like, hey, man, there's guy on the roof with a rifle. And the police are like, huh, what? You know, like they didn't know what was going on. You know, we're like, hey, right here on the roof. We can see him from right here. We see him. You know, he's crawling. And next thing you know, I'm thinking to myself, why is Trump still speaking? Why have they not pulled him off the stage? I'm standing there pointing at him for, you know, 2-3 minutes. Secret Service is looking at us from the top of the barn. I'm pointing at that roof, just standing there like this. And next thing you know, 5 shots ring out.
So you're certain that the shots came from that guy on the roof?
100%. 100%.
And he was up there for a couple of minutes.
He was up
you
there.
You saw him up there for a couple of minutes.
Absolutely. At least 3 to 4 minutes.
And you were telling the police and the Secret Service.
We were telling the police. We were pointing at him for the Secret Service, who were looking at us from the top of the barn. They were looking at us the whole time when we were standing by that tree.
Could they see
binoculars.
Him? Could they see him?
Probably not, because the roof, the way the slope went, he was behind where they could see. But why is there not Secret Service on all of these roofs here? I mean, this is not a big place.
That was the takeaway. That was the best interview of the entire weekend. Best eyewitness interview. It's like, this is not a big place. And why wasn't there enough Secret Service? I'm going to talk with Gary Byrne about that. I last spoke with Gary Byrne, I say back in 2018? Gary Byrne's a former Secret Service agent. I invite him on the show, and you're happy to. He wrote a big best-selling book back before Trump was elected, and it was called Secrets of the Secret Service, The History and Uncertain Future of the U.S. Secret Service. And he had a lot of criticism to say about the Secret Service in 2018. And something tells me it probably hasn't changed much. Seems to be a big focus on diversity rather than are you actually competent. And I have to say, I was even kind of disturbed where, you know, as great as it was that President Trump holds his fist up and you get that iconic photo with Trump and the agents and the flag, you know, above him and the blood on his cheek and from the ear. I just don't know why he just wasn't. You know, when Reagan was shot, they picked him up like a sack of potatoes by the legs and the arms and he just got him out of there. He just got him out of there. Now, it just seemed really odd, and there seemed to be a lot of confusion with what was going on there. And I also have to say, and I know this goes against the creative diversity, but there was a female Secret Service agent there, and I'm sure she was probably fine, except that she was a small person. And they're all surrounding President Trump up on the stage, and she's barely able to cover a good part of Trump, can't get high enough to do much protection for his head. And that was the whole thing, trying to protect his head. There's just so many things that were just wrong about this. And that if you're going to be a Secret Service agent, you better have the physicality to be able to do the job rather than just wearing the earpiece. And that just... one thing, you can't be a small person when you're covering a guy who's over 6 feet tall. It's just not going to work. We'll talk with Gary about that and a bunch of other things here in the next few minutes. But I have some time for a few calls, and we'll get to that here in just a moment, too. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED, 99.3 KBXG. How you doing? Pine in Central Point.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED.
Belly up to the talk bar in a few minutes. We'll talk with Gary Byrne, former Secret Service agent, who I have a feeling will have some interesting things to say about what happened on Saturday. By the way, it was termed the incident. Remember? That was how it was reported for about the first hour or two. There was an incident in Butler, Pennsylvania. Gene's in Joe County. Hey, Gene, how you doing this morning? What are you thinking?
Okay, pretty good. Okay, there was a photographer, a reporter photographer, took a picture of where a bullet just missed the left side of his head. Why aren't they talking about that?
They were talking about that. They were talking about that.
But they're not spreading around like they should. But anyway,
This
means that Biden is going to have to stop calling everyone he doesn't like names like MAGA. He's always calling them names.
Oh, it's evil MAGA Republicans, and Trump is literal Hitler, you know, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, does this mean that the House is going to actually try pushing voter registration and non-illegal votes for the election, because they've got the perfect deal right now? Go for it.
Yeah, well, the House already voted for that. It is bottled up in the Senate. So the challenge is to get people like, Dimbaugh, Wyden, and Merkley to change their ideological position, because, you know, essentially they're taking a treasonous position on voter registration and ID, if you ask me. Okay.
This would be a good way to hit him with it.
Yeah, it would be. Could be. Appreciate the call there, Gene. 770-563-3. Let me go to Tom. Tom and Talent. Hey, Tom. I just wanted to give you a heads up there. Thomas DiLorenzo is going to join me after 7 o'clock. And you know how you're always going around saying that the Fed, as long as the Fed exists, we're not going to be free people? Well, he's wondering if Trump might actually take some positions of reigning in the Fed. So you might find that interesting. Okay.
Very interesting. Well, it's obvious about Trump is that there was a failure of the security team. And the only big question is, was that deliberate or just incompetent?
Yeah. Was it incompetence or was there a darker motive involved? And, you know, you can't say right now, but we have so little trust in our institutions, we can't help but wonder if it's a bit of both.
Yes, it certainly can be. One of the things that are floating out was that Jill Biden was making some speech somewhere else, so they pulled most of Trump's security team away from him and for Jill, and that the people there were sort of a ragtag. And it wasn't just one woman there guarding Trump. I don't know if you noticed, but there were several ponytails, as they say, guarding Trump. So you raise some really good questions.
Yeah, and it's not a matter of, when you're focused on diversity, rather than can you actually do the job, there is a physicality that is involved in being a Secret Service agent. And when you're guarding someone who is, 6'3", 6'4", it's probably difficult. You know, I couldn't guard him because I'm not a tall man. I'm not. I'm like 5'8", barely. You know, that kind of thing. And, you know, to me, way too many holes in what happened on Saturday. Way too many holes.
Oh, absolutely. And, and you mentioned the news media. It looked like it was only Newsmax that was covering there, and CNN, the Communist News Network or Corporate News Work, whatever you want to call it, and the other ones weren't there. It looked like only Newsmax, and that's why all these other other news media using terms like incident and bangs and, you know, noise and so forth. They weren't there. It looked like it was only Newsmax that bothered to be there.
Actually, I think Fox News Channel was actually there, too. They were there.
I wasn't seeing media from Fox, but it really brings up, I keep saying over and over again, you cannot believe anything that you see on the news. I just considered propaganda, and I had a very disturbing conversation with a friend in Ohio about an hour before everything happened, and it was so, I couldn't believe what I was hearing, that she was just repeating all the talking points of all the hate speech against Trump. And he's a rapist. He's a convicted felon. He wants to obliterate democracy in America. I mean,
and don't you find it interesting that that President Biden then went on TV yesterday, talked about lowering the temperature? And it's, I want to say, okay, jerk, who's been in charge of raising the temperature all these years?
Well, he just, the famous quote by him, it's just 4 days earlier, say we need to get rid of the debates and put a bullseye on Trump. Mm-hmm. He's the one that said that. And you've heard his speech about talking about anyone that supports Trump or MAGA and so forth, they're all terrorists and so forth so on. So he's, if talk about somebody ramping up the hatred, that's right there.
Oh, and then when you end up hearing, I think there were some media reports over the weekend in which the media was saying, well, you know, Trump could be blamed for this because of his heated rhetoric. It's like, ay, ay, ay. Yeah, we got, and Biden's calling for unity. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll talk soon here.
Charade.
Yeah, we'll talk soon. I'm going to talk with Gary Byrne about it, and he's a retired Secret Service agent. I imagine that he has an interesting take on how do you have all those people around and you don't have anybody on that one roof? I don't know. We'll talk with Gary about that here. Coming up, this is the Bill Myers Show.
When the IRS comes knocking, the news can be shocking. Tell them you've hired a CPA tax expert at First Response Resolution, located in Eagle Point. Leave speaking with the IRS to Zach. He'll defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit FirstResponseIRS.com today for a free consultation.
Hi, it's Jolene with...
Welcome back to the Bill Myers Show, 106.3 KMET.
Gary Byrne served in federal law enforcement for nearly three decades. He was in the U.S. Air Force Security Police. Then he was in the Uniform Division of the Secret Service. And also later, a federal air marshal, and has written a number of books on, well, all sorts of things involving character, Secret Service, too, for that matter. And last time I had a chance to talk with Gary is about, Gary, wasn't it about 6 years ago when you put the other book out? About the Secret Service?
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, about 6 years ago.
Yeah, and I had saved your phone number, and I was thinking, I remember I talked to a former Secret Service agent a while back, and I took a look, and of course, I still have your book. It's Secrets of the Secret Service, The History and Uncertain Future of the U.S. Secret Service, and you were calling for oversight hearings and just calling the service out back then, 2016,
yeah.
2018, right?
Yeah.
You want to set the table here, what you were thinking even at that time?
Yes. Yeah. So when you work inside the Secret Service, you, listen, it's a important job. It is great people when you get on there,
mm-hmm.
but the problem is it has all the problems of the IRS and the Postal Service. And what they do best is they hide their mistakes and continue to go on. If you look at their website, it says, you know, they have this like bold thing. It says, you know, zero. Tolerance or 100% failure rate, or you know, zero failure rate, and that's not true. And the problem is that they never address the problems, and that's the reason I wrote the first book, the second book, Secrets of the Secret Service, just to get it out there. Listen, they need some reform before we have a catastrophe. And guess what? We had a catastrophe.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, I think the only thing that saved the Don. Saturday was when he turned to the right to look at that Jumbotron. I think that's the only thing that saved him, wasn't it, really, at that point?
Yeah, yeah. No, you're exactly right. Listen, a quarter of an inch more. How wide is it here? A quarter of an inch more, and that would have been it. And also, let's not forget the people that were injured, killed and injured. The perpetrator, couldn't care less about him. Hope I never hear his name. And I hope he rots in hell. But the innocent, President Trump got lucky. And the problem is you're not supposed to get lucky. It's supposed to be procedures that work over the time, over the years, that they're proven to work. And the problem is they stopped doing those procedures correctly. You know, half of the people that were there as post-standers were not in the Secret Service. Because,
what?
Like I talk about in the book, Secrets of the Secret Service. They're always starved of manpower. The normal Secret Service, if somebody comes to them, one of their protection details, and says, hey, we did it in advance, we need 100 people, they're going to give you 60 at best.
Uh-huh.
And they're going to work those 60 into the ground. And that's what we saw culminate the day that President Trump was almost assassinated, was they had very few Secret Service people as post-standards. Listen, these people are other government agents, and officers, and they're good people, but it does make a difference. And the guy that was on the roof with the rifle, the shooter, the problem was there was confusion. There wasn't enough whoever decided that that building that was only 135 to 150 yards away,
which is an easy shot on an AR, right? That's an easy shot. God. Yeah.
Any 14-year-old hunter with a hunting rifle could have made that shot. I mean, simple. And the problem is not. I wasn't there, but I know this is very common with counter snipers. You see somebody on the roof. Is that local law enforcement? They had nobody to ask. They were waiting. They saw the guy, but they didn't know if he was local law enforcement because he was roughly dressed, sort of like some of the local law enforcement guys. And and they had to wait so long before they got confirmation, or in this case, the guy just started shooting.
Yeah.
And Nick, the president. Now, parts of the stuff you saw, the way the agents pushed the president down. Yeah, most people don't know this, but the podium and that little barrier in front of them that's up about a foot or two is protection. And they push him down. They hold him in place. They cover him with their body for a short period of time until they hear, the shooter's down. And then they hear the shooter's down. The two guys in black are Secret Service agents. They're from the counter-assault team. They come up. And they help them get off the stage safely. They get to the motorcade, and then they go. Now, a lot of people are saying, oh, they took too much time. Don't confuse reality with TVs and movies. It takes time to do these things. They have to make sure they're not running into more guns, because that's very possible.
Yeah, and that's what I was wondering, too. I just want to go back to what you had mentioned, Gary, because my wife, Linda, and I kind of had the same thought. That they were wondering if people there on, if the other shooters that were around there that to protect the president mistook the shooter as just another protector because they were relying. Actually, I think they were relying on a lot of local police to end up covering this event, weren't they? Is that what you mentioned earlier?
Yeah. And that's normal. But the problem is what the way it used to work was it would be one uniformed division officer or an agent. And some local law enforcement. But now the Secret Service, because they're so starved for manpower, because they continuously, year after year, make these bad decisions, and they now it's just local law enforcement, and they brief them. And that building was supposedly outside their zone, but they saw this guy on it. And, it wasn't outside their zone if they had a rifle. And, again, this is just bad Secret Service planning. The individual employees, they want to do the right thing, but they're hamstringed left and right. And, it's sad.
Gary Byrne, once again, and when I last talked with him, he had his book, Secrets of the Secret Service, The History and Uncertain Future of the U.S. Secret Service. And how do you get to the point where you look at that building in the fairgrounds or near the fairgrounds with a very clear shot as not being a building of interest to have had some kind of body up there to make sure? I think the term that they use is sterilize the building to make sure that no dirt bags get up there. How do you do that?
So here's the thing. They know it was in those zones, but it just goes back to manpower. They request it. The information's already coming out. They request it multiple times in the last year, more protection for the Trump detail because the threat level was incredible. When inside the Secret Service, when you hear an agent or an officer refer to threat levels, and we use this sort of a joking terminology, not since Lincoln, what are we telling you? It is dangerous. It is bad. And there's threats coming out about this guy because of the political atmosphere. And they were denied multiple times more people. There was only one counter sniper team. There should have been probably at least three.
Oh.
And then for each team, there should have been at least two or three response people for each team. That's the way they used to do it. That's the way it was set up. But when you start breaking away from procedures because you know better and you don't want to have to do the hard work and get the manpower and retain your employees and treat them well, this is what happens.
Gary, there is a lot of focus being brought on to the head of the Secret Service right now, the person who's running it, Cheadle.
Yeah.
Cheadle's her name.
Yeah.
A Secret Service director. And a lot has been made that this was kind of a diversity hire. Would you agree with that? And was there a problem in the Secret Service that was exacerbated by her hiring?
Yeah, so diversity is always, generally speaking, women in the law enforcement are roughly around 12% of the of the population. Mm-hmm. And then it used to be minorities, like anybody that wasn't a white European was about 7% to 12%. It's increased over the years. But the problem is people start using that as a hiring tool. And that's not what you're hiring. You don't want to hire somebody because of their skin color. You will hire them because they passed the polygraph test, because they stood in front of you and swore on a Bible that they would try to complete this job to the best of their ability. And they passed training. And when this Cheadle was hired, she had been in the Secret Service. She had worked on the Biden detail years ago. And she was pretty good at hiding problem with Vice President Biden. So she was working in, she had retired, she was working in the private sector. They brought her back as a director. And here's the thing you need to understand. When you go on YouTube and you Google her, the first video pops up is her talking about diversity. That's all you need to know. It's a mistake. They're not focusing on protection. They're focusing on an image, and it's not real. What does that image of President Trump with blood running down his face tell you?
Yeah, that's real. Yeah, because you see, you know, and everyone's saying, hey, the Secret Service was really brave and they protected him. No, they didn't this time because of the it's a failure, like you mentioned.
Right. We've had many failures. I just want to mention one to you. In my book, Secrets of the Secret Service, I talk about an incident when President Obama was in office. Him and his family were out of town on overseas travel. A man at night pulls up in front of the White House. It was in the winter. It's about 5:30 in the evening. It's dark. He pulls up with an AK-47 on the south side of the White House, unloads an entire magazine at the White House. As it's happening, the officers are calling in. We're under fire. It's hitting the walls. It's hitting the... And the Secret Service Control Center, which is five blocks away from the White House now because they know better. They moved it out of the control center away from the White House, tells these officers that they're reporting a backfiring truck. Not till a month later when one of the officers that was almost shot went to her congressman and to resign because she was so frustrated with this being not taken seriously that they started an investigation. And that's the only thing we found out about it. We were writing the second book. And
I got to tell you, I never really heard of that being talked about a lot during the Obama administration. So was that just squashed and buried in the system?
They tried to squash it. Yeah, absolutely. And they tried to squash it. And not until these brave officers came forward and said, this is what happened. And then when the member of Congress started asking some questions, the people that take care of the White House, like maintenance and stuff, the usher's office, told them that they found broken glass on the Truman balcony. The guy hit the Truman balcony. There was broken glass. The cleaning people had to sweep it up. They found casings on the road. That night, the guy drove down the road after he shot about a half a mile and then got out and ran and left the gun in the car. When the Metropolitan Police Department found the gun in the car, they had heard that there might have been some incident at the White House. When they called the control center, they told them, the control center told them they went nothing to do with the car, nothing happened. It was they were mixing up information.
Former Secret.
Instead of investigating.
Yeah, okay, so it was more important to cover up the failure rather than learning from the failure and figuring out where we were going. And, boy, and so undermanned on Saturday, this is the takeaway, undermanned, and was there a lack of imagination that they wouldn't have wanted anybody covering that roof where they where the shooter? Or how would you play that out, huh? What do you think?
They just didn't have the manpower. Here's something I experienced, and one of the reasons it made it so easy to transfer from the Secret Service to the Air Marshals after 9/11. When we would complain to a certain director, one time we had this big all-hands meeting because the director's office was embarrassed because officers and agents were going public with their complaints. So they had this meeting, and instead of listening to what we had to say and trying to come up with some fixes, this is what the director said. He looked us dead in the eye and said, "This job isn't for everybody. Maybe you should look elsewhere."
Wow.
and guess what? After 9/11 and they opened up the Air Marshal Service, 300 uniform division officers left in the first 8 months.
So there has been a real hemorrhaging of probably the officers with the best institutional memory. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah. There was the officers, even agents. Like when I first joined in 1991, nobody resigned. No agent or very few officers resigned their commission with the Secret Service. But, you know, no matter how crappy it was, you were proud to be there. And then by the time I left, people were leaving, agents, officers, they were leaving. Agents were leaving to go and take jobs that, you know, for less money and but better lifestyle, you know, because they work you into the ground. And
because they don't have enough, the ones that they do have are just worked to death. Okay.
Yeah, they absolutely are. Just to give you a good example, they were so short on manpower during the Obama administration, the uniform division. They had five officers that were out on injury. They'd been injured. They made them put their uniform on and sit and stand post inside the White House without a firearm because they were so desperate for manpower. And they would never do that. You never post an officer or an agent with, in a condition where he can't defend himself or defend the PTSD. That's how desperate they were. And that's just one example. And what you saw with that attempted assassination with President Trump was the culmination of all this crap and much more.
I wanted to ask a philosophical question about the Secret Service, Gary Byrne, and
sure. You
having been a former officer, is there a physical height or size requirement for an agent? Because, and the reason I'm asking this is that here it is, you're guarding a guy who's 6'3", 6'4", somewhere in there, right?
Yeah.
And I saw when the officers surrounded him after the assassination attempt, and you had this female agent,
yeah,
who unfortunately is probably my height. I'm only like 5'8". I'm not a very tall man. And I wouldn't be really good at trying to get up above a 6'3", 6'4" guy, I would think. And I'm wondering if this is part of the DEI sort of thing, in which, even though, okay, you got training, you can do it, but are you physically able to perform the job when you're in a situation like this? What do you think?
Yeah, that went out the window way before DEI. That's sort of political correctness. When, you know, the ideal that, and in a certain aspect, I can see that. Back in the day, for instance, Bill Clinton had an agent that used to protect him. And this guy not only was the same height, he had gray hair, and he looked so much like Bill Clinton from a distance, you could almost make a mistake.
Wow.
And and so that went away because we started being forced to, you know, and again, the Clintons were good at this. President Clinton, when he was president, was aggravated because there were no shift leaders. There were females on his detail, but no shift leaders. So they interrupted the cycle that the Secret Service had of picking the right people to become shift leaders and run the group of agents during a shift. And they forced this woman in there. And I sort of blame the Secret Service because they were forced to do it, but then they sort of left her out to hang. And the first day that they came out of the mansion and this woman was leading Bill Clinton's detail, he walked over to the door to get in the limousine and she couldn't open the door. She could not. She was not physically strong enough to open the door. At that time, the door on a limousine weighed about 500 pounds. Now, don't get me wrong. It was balanced, but you had to have some heft behind you to pull the door open, and she couldn't open it. Bill Clinton had to help her open the door. And that's just one example of they forced these, you know, they buckled to the administration's pressure, and they forced these political correctness things, and now you have an agent that can't open the door, not in an emergency, just to let the guy in the car.
Yeah, I had a friend that used to work in Chicago Police Department, and back in the day, you were required to be essentially a big, beefy person if you're going to do this.
Yeah,
you're going to do this kind of work.
Political correctness killed that. That you know, there's no height requirement. But I will tell you this: when I first came on in 1991, I tell you one thing they didn't look for at the time. You know, there was no such thing as exposed tattoos back then. You couldn't have them. You know what else you couldn't have in 1991?
What?
You could not have scars on your face from acne.
Really? No scars?
I kid you not. That was the standard, yeah. That was the standard. When I did my first interview in a hotel room with the Secret Service Uniform Division, they actually, like, you know, looked you over, and I said, is there something wrong? They go, no, yeah, you're not allowed to have acne scars. And, you know, and then, you know, later, by the time I transferred to the Air Marshals, people were being hired with exposed tattoos. Now, I'm not saying that made them, you know, in particular, this one person that was all tattooed up was probably one of the greatest recruits ever. He was a former Army Ranger, and But, you know, it just shows you how times change, and they put these unrealistic pressures on the Secret Service. Who cares what gender the shift leader is? You want her to be able to run the shift safely and save the protect day.
Yeah.
You know, eventually you will find the right women. Don't force it. And that's what they always do. And you saw part of this on Wednesday. I get what you're saying. There should be taller people. But you know, I'm not saying this to you personally, but, you know, listen to what I was saying before. They were denied more protection. So they're going to definitely be denied anybody that's tall enough. You know, clearly the Secret Service is giving the impression they don't give a crap about Donald Trump. And I'm sorry to say that out loud, but that's the impression you're getting.
Okay, well, let me just put it down to brass tacks here.
Sure.
How much of this, of what happened Saturday with President Trump's assassination attempt, how much of it was incompetence, and how much of it, if any, was done because they don't like the guy? The system doesn't like the guy. Any thoughts on that?
So I would say, I would say that the incompetence was, you know, most of the mistakes that you saw, and the fact that it happened, that it even happened. That guy should have been nowhere near there with a rifle. Nowhere. And that building and the other buildings near it at the same height should have all been in the cordon, because they didn't have the manpower to do it correctly. The ideal that the system itself, the Secret Service employees, you know, you're supposed to set aside your politics. But there was a very good example when Trump was president before of a Secret Service agent that got forced out. They were supposed to fire her, but they hit her in Homeland Security because she said publicly on Facebook that she doubted that she could protect him. She made a joke about it, that if something happened, she wouldn't dive in front of him. Do you remember when this happened?
I do.
And they made a big deal about it, and then what happened? They you know, let it go. The news cycle took over, and she wasn't reprimanded. She wasn't terminated. She wasn't demoted. They transferred her to another government agency and let her retire within 2 years with a full pension. And so I don't think it's systemic in the Secret Service, but I do think it's systemic in the rest of the government, especially the part of the government that's in control.
And I would also say the part of the government that would then decide how many Secret Service agents would be assigned. And that would be,
sure.
Is that ultimately the director, or is that Mayorkas, who the director serves underneath?
Well, traditionally it was the director and a group of people, some from the government, some from actually private sector, who decided who got protection. And it's up to the director and the president how much protection to a certain extent. But don't forget, not too long ago, within the last year, there were 8 members of Congress demanding that the Secret Service drop his protection. Not Barack Obama's, not Bill Clinton's, not Hillary Clinton's. You know,
yeah.
Not anybody who's still alive that they protect. It's like in their 80s. They wanted to drop Donald Trump because they don't like him. And they are terminally ill with Trump derangement syndrome.
What hopes do you have, Gary, of a real reform and a house cleaning and making the Secret Service great again?
Very little, because the problem is that Secret Service directors are going to do pretty much what they're told to do unless they're ready to resign, because the people that Joe Biden decides whether the Secret Service director comes in tomorrow morning, or decides in her next budget that he cuts her $300 million because, you know, they didn't hide Hunter Biden, you know, transgression or something. That's a real thing. You got to remember where these people, these directors, and I'm not protecting her, and I'm not saying, you know, that she shouldn't be looked at and answer some questions. I'm saying that's the reality for any director. You know, Lou Marletti, when he was the director, he saved Bill Clinton's life in the building. Not many people know this. He saved Bill Clinton's life by changing the route. They were supposed to have an off-the-record meeting, Bill Clinton and a former head of state from somewhere. They changed the route. They made Clinton 15 minutes late. He was adamant with Lou Marletti. He was angry. And Marletti was convinced that Clinton was going to fire him until Clinton found out that the bomb that they found underneath the bridge was 25 pounds of explosives.
Yikes.
And would have destroyed the entire motorcade.
Yeah.
You know, and
all's forgiven. All's forgiven with something like that. Yeah.
Right. Right. So there's so many things at play here, but the bottom line is the Secret Service has adopted very bad mentality policies. They don't take care of their employees, and they work them into the ground.
If President Trump wins the election and is installed as the next president next year, could he, as the executive, make changes to that to improve life in the Secret Service?
Yes, he could. And he'll almost have to, because you can't fix the problem without helping your employees, without making their lives a little bit better. I mean, I talked about earlier about the director who looked us in the eye and told us maybe we were in the wrong job.
Right.
Well, after he said that, he tried to lighten it up a little bit. He said, oh, well, I'll try to get everybody off so they can go see a baseball game. And one of my coworkers stood up and said, baseball game? I don't even know what my kids look like. You know, and that's the truth. You know, he had young kids. His kids weren't even sure who he was when he came up to the house, you know, because he was working 12-hour shifts 7 days a week.
12-hour shifts seven days a week. Okay. Yeah, you're right. There aren't enough.
Right.
And when people hear that that's the kind of lifestyle, they're not going to sign up for it, right?
Right. One more thing that just occurred to me. When I started in 1991, my base pay was $21,500 a year. In my first year, because of the overtime, I made $37,000.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I was supposed to make $21,000.
But you made $37,000.
I made $37,000.
That also shows you, though, how undermanned.
Yeah.
No personnel.
Exactly. Because the Secret Service director never tells a politician or the controlling member of Congress who they have to deal with, no, we can't do it. We don't have the manpower. They never tell them that. They just say, okay. And then they keep scrounging and they keep making it thinner and thinner until you end up with what happened the other day, where one of the greatest leaders, you know, whether you like him or not, he's a good leader. And many people in the country love this guy. And he luckily only lost part of his ear, you know, got shot in the ear, a quarter of an inch more, and that had been the end of him.
Boy, I have to tell you, the fist in the air, the iconic photo and things like that, as great as that was, if the Secret Service had really been doing their job, would he have been able to have that picture taken?
Well, he's kind of hard to control. Nobody was really tall enough to push his arm down.
Okay.
But I interpret that a little bit different. We interpret it, you and I would probably interpret it, he's telling us he's okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. You know,
he's telling his family he's okay.
Yeah, I think I think you're right, and that was such a great thing. I'm going like original gangster as I'm watching you, right? And yet at the same time, I'm wondering like, oh man, he's exposed is what I was thinking at that point too.
And he was. You know, again, what we watch, you know, it's choreographed in training, and they do it hundreds and hundreds of times. In real life, it's not a movie, it's not a TV show, and people, you know, things happen, and in my, you know, when I saw that as a dad, I said, he's telling them he's fine, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's really affected you, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I get that. No, I appreciate that, Gary, and thanks so much.
Nobody wants to see anybody murdered because of their beliefs.
Gary, thank you so much for having shared this and taken a few times. I'm just glad you took my call the other day when I checked
in
with
you. Thank you so much.
And now, is your book still available here? Like I said, it's been 5-6 years, but I'll tell you, this is probably more important now than it ever was back then in 2018.
Crisis of Characters, Secret Service is still available. Bookstores, Amazon, and actually used bookstores too. So.
Yeah, Crisis of Character, by the way, was number one for 5 weeks in top 10, so huge, huge hit. And then Secrets of the Secret Service, the history and uncertain future of the U.S. Secret Service, and you've detailed why, all right? Thank you very much here, Gary. Thanks for being on.
My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Bye. 5 minutes after 7, this is KMED and KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, and KBXG, Grants Pass.
The following preview